Thank you, Cheryl. Hey, everybody. I assume you guys can hear me. Yay, good. Yeah, I just want to start with a short prayer. I just want to turn this time over to Inner Wisdom, Holy Spirit, and yeah, just see what arises in this moment. So, with gratitude, I'll say amen. Kathy, hey girly. Let's see, I want to start with a song, and John Lennon, Watching the Wheels. So I'm going to play it now. Let's see, start it over here. Okay, here we go.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin.
That is a great song. Yeah, so I kind of wondered what I would talk about today. You know, I've had company in town, and I haven't done a lot of journaling. I do have a couple of pieces that we can talk about. But I want to talk about a little bit about what I talked about on Sunday. about this time thing and how it seems to inform. You know, I don't even want to say what's going on with me, but how it seems to inform what's going on with me. Along with Regina's tip last night that I called a game changer, you know, about being the point of centered awareness of light, or I can't even remember now how she said it, but, you know, and having others seemingly throw darkness to you so that you can cleanse the light, cleanse it, turn it back into light, and put it back out there. It's just really funny. This whole thing of time and how that's wrapped up with the idea of yourself as an individual moving through time. So let me just say that I can see some real changes going on here for me. 15 minutes ago, yeah, casters of attention, yeah. 15 minutes ago, I got a phone call from the realtor saying the short sale, the mortgage company had rejected the short sale offer that we had. They had originally rejected it, and blah blah blah. You know, the buyers went back and said, no, here's why. This is really a fair price, and so they reviewed it again. They reviewed it again and said, nope, it's a fair number. Okay. The point is, it's not terribly upsetting. The point is that there's been some kind of shift that allows me to just see that this is just another. You know, it's not even a bump in the road. It's it's just what's happening. It's just what's happening. It doesn't need to be corrected by me. You know, there's some question as to whether or not the realtor, what he wanted to do first was renew the contract, and then he wants to put it back on the market. Well, you know, so he's going to send me the stuff. You know, I haven't been terribly pleased with him, but you know, even that seems like something that will just work itself out. I mean, I'll either sign that and send it back to him, or I won't. And I don't know right this minute what how that will unfold, and I don't need to know right this minute. And that's the you know, that's the that's the real point of liberation, is I don't need to know what it means. I don't need to know how to proceed. I don't need to know. You know, there was a point there where I was really getting. I seemed to be getting locked up in this needing to make the right decision. Of course, you could only need to make the right decision if you needed the right outcome, right? And it seems to me that I'm in at a point right now. Where I am clear that I don't know what the right outcome of anything looks like. I don't know what's supposed to happen next. I don't know what's supposed to happen the next hour. I don't know what's supposed to happen in the next day. I don't know what's supposed to happen, you know, ever. And so maybe that's the part that's been at least loosened, you know, the belief that I'm supposed to know how things are supposed to be. And you know, that idea that if I can just get it figured out, you know, then I got a lock on it, then it you know, then I can avoid certain disaster. Which is crazy because thinking I knew what was ever going to happen has never actually affected the outcome. You know, even if I, because I've never known, number one. Number two, even if I guessed correctly, it was really no help. It was really no help. You know, things just unfold without my input. They just unfold. Yeah, so the story that I have told myself is that knowing is helpful and it's not. So that's what that seems to be the shift, and I think some of what we'll look at will bring us back here. But let me just I'm just going to open the journal and read to you, and I don't think you guys have heard this. I skipped a couple weeks, so it's hard to tell what I've shared and what I haven't. So if you've heard this one, stop me. Asked, Father, what would you have me remember today? Remember you are loved. Remember you are one. You cannot be bereft of love, guidance, wisdom, or power. You are everything, and everything is you. Fear has no power in and of itself. And as I read that, I'm going, gosh, you know, it's funny. This is dated 5/20. That's 10 days ago. And I'm like, fear? Was I in fear? And you know, at this point, gosh, it's strange. At this point, I'm trying to remember what that feels like. Right? So I don't know where I don't know where exactly this shift is. And before I started talking to you guys today, I wouldn't even have said, gosh, there's been a shift. But gosh, there's been a shift. It just seems weird to read that even this word fear, FEAR, it just looks weird. Isn't that funny? You know, I went through a very, very, well, I don't know, very, very, I went through a long period where fear was seemed to be my ever-present companion. There's somebody riding a horse across my backyard. Hello, horse. Hello, rider. That's funny. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Cheryl, for putting that up. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Yeah, I don't know if that's a neighbor or what. on the horse. False evidence appearing real. Interesting. Anyway, it doesn't feel real right now. That whole idea of fear even seems just like a misguided notion. And so I hear the part of I hear ego or a confused mind or whatever you want to call it. I hear it going, oh yeah, you're not afraid today. What about tomorrow? What if something comes up? Then you'll be afraid, won't you? Because all I can do, and this is part of this time thing, all I can do is tell you about my present moment experience. And my present moment experience is this word fear looks so foreign that I just can't see it as real. Okay, fear has no power in and of itself. Fear merely whispers to you in an attempt to have you surrender your power to it. It has no power in and of itself. It would require my power. You must tell fear that you are no longer willing to listen to the stories it would spin. When you experience the familiar effects of fear, a sinking in your solar plexus, for example, use that as a signal to be still and to turn to me for guidance. Be still. Rest the thinking mind. Rest the stories. Watch them offer first one story, then another, trying to settle your attention on anything but your being. Be not persuaded there is anything of value there. Remember, your value can only be found in me. Remember that your value is not temporal or time-bound. You cannot run out of time. You cannot run out of value. Yeah, and I think that that's a large part of the undoing in this undoing of this wholehearted this rapt attention to the stories that fear would tell. You know, and Cheryl used the phrase casters of attention before. It's like if attention is placed in the future, which, of course, we know doesn't actually exist. The only thing that ever exists is the eternal now. But if I cast my attention out to an imagined future where imagined good things or imagined bad things take place, and that those imagined good things or imagined bad things are contingent on me taking, it's absurd, me taking the proper action now and not being ever being really quite sure of what that proper action is going to be. Oh my God. Oh, what a burden. What a task. It is an impossible task, you know, and I remember talking about that in these pages, you know, that I felt like I had been confronted with an impossible task, that the impossible was going to be, was being asked of me and was being required of me. It is impossible. And who was requiring it? Me. My, you know, you know, who set the, how did the parameters for that get set? It got set because my sights were on some kind of future. But those problems don't exist now. There is no fear in the now. There, you know, if my focus is here, there's no fear here. I mean, there might be if, like, the table started falling over and it looked like it might hit my toe or something, you know. I might experience some fear. It was funny. I was in the bathroom last night, and the cat, I may have told you all, has been jumping up on the counter. Every time I go in the bathroom and wants a drink from the faucet, it's really bizarre. Yeah, there's that realtor now. Anyway, so she apparently walked in front of the light, and so I saw like a shadow out of the corner of my eye, and for a second, there was that, you know, that, it wasn't so much in this, you know, like it just takes your breath away. That it was like up more in the top of my chest. And that just seemed like a knee-jerk reaction. And I just laughed and laughed about that, about how that fear seemed to come up unbidden. Like, you know, what the hell is that? But it's interesting, and I wouldn't have given that another thought, and I sure wouldn't have thought I would have been telling you guys that story today. But in hindsight, it seems significant because it was just funny. Because when I felt the fear, it was funny. And it wasn't funny because, I don't think, it was funny because there was nothing to be afraid of. It was just funny that it was there. I don't know. I don't know. But let me, so anyway, so it's, there's, to me, there's no surprise here. Daggone it.
Text from
That realtor is persistent. So it's no big surprise to me that there's that, you know, as I told you guys on Sunday, that I was led to really look at this concept of time, that this is a concept that's been coming up again and again, and that there seems to have been, at the very least, a disentanglement from this idea of fear. Because I think they're clearly bound together. And I think they're clearly bound together with this idea of, the character Jacqueline and the stories that would be told by and about this character. Let me. Let me read some more here. Again, it says, remember, your value can only be found in me. Remember that your value is not temporal or time bound. You cannot run out of time. You cannot run out of value. So I said, what would you say to me about the belief in time? And inner wisdom said, do you not see that everything happens at once? Does not everything real have a familiar sensation, as if you were remembering a past event as it occurs? And I think that that's true. I mean, for me, and it's interesting that this says, does not everything real have a familiar sensation? it's like a, it's like instead of that underlying sense of fear, there's an underlying sense of deja vu. When I'm not projecting myself out of this moment, which I think I was pretty much doing all the time, when I'm not projecting myself out of this moment, daggone it. it's the realtor. All right, now the phone's laying in the hall. I have three phones in this room, by the way, so I need to get rid of some of them. They're all hooked together. Yeah, so what, as I was saying, where there used to be, used to, and I'm talking, I don't know, 10 days ago is when I was writing about fear. This underlying, this it's like this base, right? That you, this base camp even that you work from. This underlying low level sense of fear. But in the absence of that, I apologize for getting distracted with all the phone calls and everything. If that's not covering up my experience seems to be, it just feels familiar. That's all I'm trying to say. It's just a sense of familiarity as a base camp rather than the fear. It's a little like deja vu, but just it's a much lower level than that. You know, we've all had the deja vu experiences where we're like, oh my God, I even know what she's going to say next, right? This has definitely happened before. So it's that, and I think it's just a familiarity. But at any rate, Holy Spirit says, do you not see that everything happens at once? Does not everything real have a familiar sensation as if you were remembering a past event as it occurs? Ask me to show you through your remembering the truth of the eternal present. How could what we are be limited to the linear model of time in which you believe? There are no limitations on being. Time, like all other beliefs, does not move in one direction. And I don't know if that's a complete thought or not, because I know, yeah, thanks. I got bells and whistles all over. Cheryl says, great sound effects today. But I wrote this sentence and it felt like it felt like this sentence was going in one direction when I wrote it. And then later when I came back and I read this, that's funny, going in one direction, because that's what the sentence is about. But when I came back and read it later, it was like, is that what Holy Spirit, did I get that whole thought down? And I don't know if I did or not. Time, like all other beliefs, does not move in one direction. I mean, I think that's just the same way as looking at that idea that, there's only past and future in imagination. Regina was talking about it last night in Gentle Healing, where she talked about her vision, and she had explained this to me in preparation for my talk on Sunday. But her vision of the universe being created now and now and now and now and now and faster than I can even say it, right? So really has no connection to a past, or this moment has no connection to a past or to a future, imagined or otherwise. And if I'm not time bound, if I'm not bound, and it's even beyond bound to the beliefs of this is how things happen, and this is why you should behave this way, and this is why you should do that. It's just really liberating, frankly. It allows each moment to have its absolute unlimited potentiality, which is what we are, which is what life is. Unlimited by anything, even the concept of time, even the concept that this moment is going to lead into the next moment, even the concept that this word is going to lead into the next word. I don't even have to fear, am I going to be able to finish this sentence? Am I going to be able to get this idea across? Of course, Miracle says you need do nothing. Of course, Think Ego wants to come in and go, oh yeah, well, let's see how that works out when you don't pay your bills, when you don't go to the mailbox and get the bills out of the mailbox, But that's just bullshit. That's just resistance. That's an argument for what's not. We're not talking about, am I going to be able to function in this world? Joan Tollefson talked about this thing that we call the self appears intermittently as needed for functionality purposes. But it's not who I am. The bills get paid, the work gets done. But that's got nothing to do with my experience of who I am. It's just what happens. I don't have to say, oh, because I paid the bills, because I have a calendar that's got, 20 things scheduled on it to do for Awakening Together, that must be who I am. No, it's got nothing to do with who I am. Nothing. to do with who I am. Again, Holy Spirit says, how could what we are be limited to the linear model of time in which you believe? There are no limitations on being. Time, like all other beliefs, does not move in one direction. Beingness is. You are. There is no journey from one point in time to another. And this is where this is where we try and drag our usual way of doing things into our spiritual unfoldment. We even talk about a path, a journey, some kind of progress from here to there. But what we tend to do, what the thinking mind does, what the confused mind, I don't know what you want to call it. I don't know what I want to call it. But what it does is, it's not, it can only conceive of a journey as having a beginning and an end. It can only look to out to the future. And then from that imagined position in the future, it looks back and goes, are we doing it right? Are we doing it right? Is that, is this path really going to lead us where, where I imagine I'm standing here in the future? So while there may be an unfoldment that appears to be a journey, an unfoldment that appears to be a path, there's only the ever-present now. There's only standing still. Standing still does not mean being stagnant. It does mean that I don't conceptualize myself as a past, as a past, as a self, as a character, as a person, and then move myself around in my mind. Oh, iniquity, now I'm in the past, now I'm in the future. So resting this concept of time allows us to rest our tendency to conceptualize ourselves. Because, I've heard Paul Hederman say it. Never really understood it, but I heard Paul Hederman say it. You don't think about the past or the future without first creating a self. You don't think of your disembodied self in the past or your disembodied self in the future. And yet, where do we spend all our time when we're in our mind? We spend it in the past or in the future. So where we spend in this imaginary creation, this imaginary character. So there's the value of being here now. Beingness is you are. There is no journey from one point in time to another. Rest in the present now. It contains all time and none. You are infinitude. And I thought, well, that's an interesting word. I don't know what the hell that means. I looked it up. The state or quality of being infinite, of having no limit. And so, it's just interesting that we just absolutely, unquestioningly accept that time is a limit. Even if we pay homage to the idea that, oh no, everything, it's all one, it's all now. We might do that intellectually, but we participate in this idea of time. By constantly placing our focus there on the future or on the past. For me, it was mostly on the future. So Holy Spirit says, you are infinitude. Rest and discover this is so. So, the next day I said, "What would you like to share with me about the present moment now?" Holy Spirit said, "Now is the only place you can ever be. Only the thinking mind can take you from the now moment, and then only in imagination. Now contains within it the essence of all that is. Now is life awareness, love, and freedom. To consciously seek the now is to seek that which is real. To dwell in the now is to rest where stories have no play. To be as you are, be now. The now asks neither to have nor to be anything other than that which is. Worry, fear, etc. cannot exist in the now. You may attempt to bring them in through thought, but once imagined, you have imagined yourself somewhere other than now. Stop and listen to this now moment. What is it you hear?" I hear the hum of the computer. I hear lots of birds. Holy Spirit says, "You hear life. Your connection to all of life arises here. Your connection to all of life arises here. What do you feel in this now moment?" Center yourself here. It is here I join with you. Blessings to you for your willingness. I am with you now. So, I'm wondering if I felt drawn to I felt drawn to Jeff Foster. I told Regina that I hadn't looked a lot of his stuff, although I did a little while this morning. But I felt drawn to Jeff Foster stuff because of the title of his website. I really don't know anything about him, but his website is Life Without a Center, and it just. And we've been talking about this the past several weeks. It's beginning. I never knew what that meant, and it's beginning to become clear that we've been talking about the center is center, center, not center. Maybe both. But the center as this character, right? This character with its past, with its imagined future, with its beliefs in what should and shouldn't be. With this, it's seemingly built-in orientation to life. Okay, this is how I operate, right? I operate from here, and this is what can be expected. And we don't think these things through in that linear manner like that. But clearly, that's what's going. We're working with this base. I know I told you guys about meeting with Fred Davis, and really just getting that believing a thought did the same thing that I was talking about that time does. Believing a thought assumes you have to create the identity of a thinker of that thought when in actuality the thought exists without a thinker. But when I claim a thought as my own, it just instantaneously, even without, I mean, just quicker than instantaneously, when I claim a thought as my own, it creates the thinker of the thought. It presupposes a thinker of the thought, which doesn't sound real clear, but at any rate, and that's the center that I think that Jeff Foster is talking about living without, this orienting factor, this thinker, this doer. this character who has these experiences and these thoughts and beliefs and culture and heritage and hopes and dreams and right? It's a center. And what I wanted to say was, so when I met with Fred Davis, and I just got this presupposition of the thinker, I could clearly see that it felt very shaky ground. And I could see the grasping, the want to go back up, because I mean, it's like you don't even know where your next thought might, it doesn't make sense, where your next thought might go. You don't even know how do you even have a conversation without a center? You know, this is what the character would say. Again, we don't think of it like that, but we bring all of that into play with our normal way of being. And so I could just see the want to go back and grab, pick the character up, like it's like I'm standing there naked and wanting to go back and, you know, put some clothes on before I utter my next sentence, right? I don't know if any of this makes any sense. So anyway, I'd want to read you this little thing I pulled off of Jeff Foster's website. It's called "On Trying to Allow This Moment." He writes, "Trying to allow this moment, trying to escape this moment, trying to surrender to it. You, quote unquote, you are already too late." Jeff writes, "Present thoughts, sensations, sounds, and feelings are already here." Sounds obvious, but within that obviousness lies cosmic treasure. The floodgates of this moment are already wide open and cannot be closed. Present thoughts, sensations, sounds, and feelings are already flooding in, so to speak. In other words, you have already failed to block this moment out. There is simply nobody here in charge of the floodgates, nobody separate from life, nobody who can stem the wild flow of being. What you are is helplessly, choicelessly allowing this moment to be, giving birth to an entire universe. It is this already as it is, in quotes, already as it is. It is this already as it is nature of life that is the key to boundless freedom and unlimited creative expression and even compassionate, intelligent action, however contradictory that sounds to the rational mind, which believes that change can only come from the story, that deep rest is merely stagnation and passivity, and that effortlessness can only come from effort. Forget trying to allow or resist this moment, and forget trying to control life or to surrender that control. And recognize that on a deeper level, beyond understanding, this moment has already been completely allowed. And what you are feeling and sensing and smelling and tasting right now is only the result of total acceptance prior to the upsurge of the image of you as the one who accepts or not. What you are beyond the story has already said yes to this moment. And herein lies the peace of God, as they say. So it's just, it's sweet how fitting that was. You know, this it kind of addresses what Anne and I were talking about this moment, this morning, and she talked a little bit about it in her program, and some of these other things that we've been looking at. You know, this creation of a you who then has to allow or not allow a moment. Who then has to allow or not allow thoughts. You know, we talk about how the ego's never going to get this, right? The individual that you think you are will never wake up because individuals don't wake up. We wake up from the individual. And we get these concepts intellectually, but it's so funny because even as we think about them, you see, you have to presuppose the thinker. You have to presuppose, like he said, the upsurge. I liked how he put it. Everything that's happening right now is only the result of total acceptance prior to the upsurge of the image of you as the one who accepts or not. So there's something in the in here about this. About this deep rest. Being beyond and prior to and transcendent of the one you think you are, the individual that you think you are. And there was a there was something I said on Sunday that was pretty. Just trying to find it here in my journal. It was about let's see. It's about the fact that what we tend to think is that we are, and I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing a lot of talk about the character in my journal, but what we think we're doing is we think the character is resting from the thoughts. And what Inner Wisdom told me was, no, you are resting the character. You're resting the belief in the character. And I don't know why I don't see that right now, but. That's what stillness is. That's what I'm learning. You know, to think that the character is resting from believing in the thoughts is to you know, so you've adopted the whole, you've started from a wrong premise. We've started from a wrong premise. Oh, okay, now I'm the character. Now I'm gonna rest my thoughts. And that's not it at all. Sorry, I don't. It's so funny. Here it is. It says, it is not the character who is resting. It is you who are arresting the idea you are a character. So, I don't know. That there's more to say. I don't. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play another song, and that'll probably be close to taking us out. We'll see where we are after the song plays, whether I have an epilogue. But let me pull this song up.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. and in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. When all the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Oh, let it be.
Yeah, the only thing that I have to say is nothing. No, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you guys and to share. And thank you for your mighty companionship. I love you all, and I'll see you next time.